Hello and welcome to episode 828 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Sunday, March 10th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori's Sunday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain the forgiveness of our sins. Behold, O Mother of God, at thy feet a miserable sinner, a slave of hell, who has recourse to thee and trusts in thee. I do not deserve that thou shouldest even look at me, but I know that thou, having seen thy Son die for the salvation of sinners, hast the greatest desire to help them. I hear all call thee the refuge of sinners, the hope of those who are in despair, and the help of the abandoned. Thou art then my refuge, my hope, and my help. Thou hast to save me by thy intercession. Help me, for the love of Jesus Christ, extend thy hand to a miserable creature who has fallen and recommends himself to thee. I know that thy pleasure is to help a sinner to thy utmost. Help me, therefore, now that thou canst do so. By my sins I have lost divine grace, and with it my soul. I now place myself in thy hands. Tell me what I must do to recover the favor of my Lord, and I will immediately do it. He sends me to thee that thou mayest help me, and he wills that I should have recourse to thy mercy. Not that only the merits of thy Son, but also that thy intercession may help me to save my soul. To thee, then, I have recourse. Do thou, who prayest for so many others, pray also to Jesus for me. Ask him to pardon me, and he will forgive me. Tell him that thou desirest my salvation, and he will save me. Show how thou canst enrich those who trust in thee. Amen. Thus I hope. Thus may it be. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. My most sweet Jesus, Redeemer of the human race, turn thine eyes of mercy toward the children of that race, once thy chosen people. Of old they called down upon themselves the blood of the Savior. May it now descend upon them a laver of redemption and of life. Amen. We return once more, friends, to the excellent traditional Catholic website, fisheaters.com, for Meditations for Lent by St. Thomas Aquinas. Today is the fourth week in Lent, Sunday, and this is titled, Christ by His Passion Opened to Us the Gates of Heaven. We have a confidence in the entering into the holies by the blood of Christ, Hebrews 10:19. The closing of a gate is an obstacle hindering man's entrance. Now men are hindered from entrance to the heavenly kingdom by sin, for Isaiah says, it shall be called the holy way. The unclean shall not pass over it. Isaiah 35:8. Now, the sin that hinders man's entrance into heaven is of two kinds. There is, first of all, the sin of our first parents. By this sin, access to the kingdom of heaven was barred to man. We read in Genesis 3:24 that after the sin of our first parents, God placed before the paradise of pleasure cherubims and a flaming sword, turning every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The other kind of hindrance arises from the sins special to each individual, the sins each man commits by his own particular action. In other words, friends, we inherit the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve. That's washed away by baptism. But then we have our own personal sins, and we're culpable for what we do. About the age of reason, which is approximately 6 or 7, seven usually, according to church reckoning. And then it's on us. And the level of our guilt, the level of our culpability, or what we can be excused from, of course, is known only ultimately to God. But we have to remember that there are three factors to take into account for a sin to be mortal. It has to be grave matter. You have to know it's grave matter, and there has to be full consent of the will. St. Thomas continues by saying, by the passion of Christ, we are freed not only from the sin common to all human nature, and this both as to the sin as to its appointed penalty, since Christ pays the price on our behalf, but also we are delivered from our personal sins, if we are numbered among those who are linked to the Passion by faith, by charity, and by the sacraments of the faith. Thus it is that through the Passion of Christ, the gates of heaven are thrown open to us. And hence St. Paul says that Christ, being come a high priest of the good things to come, by his own blood entered once into the holies, having obtained a redemption that is eternal, Hebrews 9:11. And this was foreshadowed in the Old Testament, where we read in Numbers 35, verses 25 and 28, the manslayer shall abide there, that is, in the city of refuge, until the death of the high priest, that is, anointed with holy oil. And after he is dead, then shall the manslayer return to his own country. The holy fathers who, before the coming of Christ, wrought works of justice, earned their entrance into heaven through faith in the Passion of Christ, as is written. The saints by faith conquered kingdoms, wrought justice, Hebrews 6:33. By faith, too, it was that individuals were cleansed from the sins they had individually committed. But faith or goodness, no matter who the person was that possessed it, was not enough to be able to move the hindrance created by the guilty state of the whole human creation. This hindrance was only removed at the price of the blood of Christ. And therefore, before the Passion of Christ, no one could enter the heavenly kingdom to obtain that eternal happiness that consists in the full enjoyment of God. If I can jump in here again, you had to have faith. Certainly Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had faith, but until our Lord came, until he paid the full penalty for sin, no one had the opportunity of being in heaven. So, of course, faith is important, and we are saved by faith working through love. You could say we are saved by grace alone, in other words. We're not saved by faith alone. Faith, of course, is supremely important, but what is of the greatest significance, what we cannot go without, is our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection, because by that he strikes down sin, Satan, and death. And it's through our Lord's ultimate sacrifice that we have any hope of being saved. Until that happened in salvation history, nobody could go to heaven. That's important to reflect on anytime, but especially during Lent. What Jesus did for us is immeasurable, incalculable. I keep going back to that very wise saying, Jesus Christ paid a debt he didn't owe, because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. It was impossible for anyone to get to heaven before Jesus did what he did through his passion. St. Thomas concludes by saying, Christ by his passion merited for us an entrance into heaven and removed what stood in our way. By his ascension, however, he, as it were, put mankind in possession of heaven, and therefore it is that he ascended, opening the way before them. Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He is our leader. He is our captain. He has showed us the way. He showed us the path. We have to take up our cross every day and follow him. He will give us the grace to do that. We need to ask him. And we also need to rely on the intercession of Our Lady, Saint Joseph, and all of the angels and saints, and pray for the relief of the holy souls in purgatory. They're undergoing that cleansing fire, not eternal hellfire, which the souls of the damned will suffer forever, but that cleansing fire, being purified of the damage that was done to themselves and to others through their sins. If you die in a state of mortal sin, we mentioned mortal sin earlier in the program, you die in a state of mortal sin, You go to hell for all eternity. That's the constant teaching of the church. It's why universalism is so dangerous, this belief that, well, you know, God's so merciful that, you know, he wouldn't send anyone to hell. Well, in a way, we send ourselves to hell by what we do in this life. If we die in a state of mortal sin, we are either beginning our heaven or beginning our hell in this life. We're beginning heaven in a way if we live a virtuous life. We frequent the sacraments. We pray. We fast. We do our best aided by God's grace. We start living hell in this life if we're only pursuing wealth, pleasure, power, fame, because that only offers temporary satisfaction, and in some cases, not even that. And ultimately, we're going to be filled with guilt and remorse and regret eternally, so if we end up in hell. And I wanted to share with you a short reading here about judgment from Credo Compendium of the Catholic Faith by Bishop Athanasius Schneider. In number 824, the question is asked, what is judgment? And Bishop Schneider says, it is the sentence by which God, the supreme judge, perfectly combines his justice with his mercy in determining the final reward or punishment of every man for all eternity. I'll say that again, judgment. It is the sentence by which God, the supreme judge, perfectly combines his justice with his mercy in determining the final reward or punishment of every man for all eternity. We've heard so much about mercy in the last several decades, and under Pope John Paul II, they called him the mercy pope. He talked a lot about divine mercy. That's supremely important. But some people have also said, we're not talking enough about God's justice. He is the King of mercy. Jesus Christ is undoubtedly the King of mercy. Jesus Christ is also undoubtedly the just judge. And whatever any one of us receives at our particular judgment, it will be perfect mercy combined with perfect justice. If you die in a state of grace, perfectly purified, you're going to heaven. If you die with venial sins on your soul or attachment to sin, you go to purgatory first to endure that cleansing fire before you can appear before the thrice holy God in the beatific vision. But if you die with mortal sins on your soul, if you die with a mortal sin on your soul, it only takes one, because that's totally offensive to God. You will be reprobated for all eternity. We'll never be able to see our Lord face to face. That's why it's so important not to get lost in the miasma of everything we have going on in the world, and the chaos and the materialism and secularism and all the other isms. The only good ism is Catholicism, because it's the one true faith. Always have your mind's eye looking at your particular judgment. And how does the way you're living right now, what you're doing right now, how does that look from the perspective of eternity? In other words, at the end of your life, when our Lord is judging you, and you will be judged immediately, and I will be judged immediately, everyone will be judged immediately when we die. How is this going to look from the perspective of eternity? Do good, avoid evil, pray the rosary every single day. It's that simple. If you're not Catholic, you need to convert. If you are Catholic and you've been away from the faith 5, 10, 15, 20 years, that's okay. Come on back. Our Lord will welcome you back. He is the just judge. He is the King of mercy. I highly recommend you attend the traditional Latin Mass or Divine Liturgy. Go to confession. It's such a blessing to have that weight lifted off your shoulders when you exit the confessional and you know you've been truly forgiven by our Lord Jesus Christ, acting through his duly appointed minister, the Catholic priest. When he says those words, "I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost," there's no better feeling walking out of the confessional than knowing I have been forgiven. God has forgiven me of my sins. And once again, I get back to Gilbert Keith Chesterton when he was asked, "Why did you become Catholic?" "To have my sins forgiven." There is nothing more important than that, friends. Being Catholic or returning to the faith or converting to the faith, I guarantee you will be the single best decision you ever make in your life. Let us conclude by once again mentioning Helping Autism through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune in to episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. RPM is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to RPM, we know that she's a comprehensive genius who can compose music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. RPM has been as big of a breakthrough for non-speakers in terms of being able to communicate as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. Communication is a human right, but people need to be aware that this resource is out there. So please get those episodes and that website out to as many people as possible. May God richly bless you for doing so. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.